Welcome to Education Matters with your hosts Sajda and Ellie. In our show, we aim to open education to everyone. We do this through conversations with inspiring guests and experts who share their educational journeys. We aspire to raise awareness of a variety of educational opportunities that will enhance your skill set and support you to pursue lifelong ambitions and career goals.
If you want to be in a position where you can influence society, think about empowering yourself through education. Education is important at every stage of life as it supports communities and leads to positive changes. In the words of the great legend Nelson Mandela, education is the most powerful weapon you can use to change the world.
Stay tuned as we demystify education jargon so that learners from all backgrounds can continue to thrive and achieve personal success. Education is a lifelong journey. We're all students. Each episode, we are both sharing our knowledge and learning from our guests. So tune in to Education Matters, because education really does matter.
Also, if you want to be involved or share your thoughts on the topics discussed, leave a comment. We'd love to hear from you. So we're joined now by Adil. So thank you so much for joining us. Can you introduce yourself to our listeners, please?
Hiya, I'm Adil. I'm a third year law student at Lancaster Uni. I'm originally from Blackburn. I was born there. My parents were also born in Blackburn. My grandparents immigrated from India, from Gujarat. I studied at Blackburn College and then decided to apply at Lancaster Uni.
And now you're a third year law student?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, fantastic. So how are you finding your course now?
It's going okay. It started off in the middle of lockdown. We had to study online. All our lectures were online. That was first year. The transition from A-levels to uni level, it surprised me because a lot of it is very independent. It's so much more independent than anything we've done before. However, the workload, it is a bit easier. It's not as intense as A-levels. So it's very different. But it is a little bit more relaxed environment. However, the second and third year, the work does start piling on. Got more assignments to do. Second and third year contribute to my final degree. And
So the pressure is on then, huh?
Yeah.
And so this is your final year, so you'll be graduating, inshallah, next year, so summer 2023.
Yeah, inshallah.
Very good.
So Adil, what made you choose law?
It was always something that I wanted to do as a teenager. I was quite interested in my humanities subject. I didn't enjoy science, so I never really wanted to get into that field. I worked well with numbers. However, after seeing sort of the legal, seeing legal disputes on the news, seeing the courtroom on TV, and it really appealed to me. It was something that I really wanted to do. So I decided to take law at A-level. And I really enjoyed it. It was my favorite subject at A-level. I did really well. And alhamdulillah, I got a spot in Lancaster Uni to do law.
MashaAllah, that's really good. And so what's it like being a student at a university? How is it different to being at college?
Oh, it's so much different. First year, because I was online, I didn't move into Lancaster. I had plans to, but because of COVID, I didn't. The second year, me and a couple of my friends, one from Blackburn and two friends that I made at uni, we moved into a house. This is near Lancaster Town Centre, which is a bit away from the uni. However, it was my first time moving out, and it was a really good experience. I learned a lot of skills, and it also helped me manage my uni time because I was in Lancaster, manage my studying and then relaxing at home with my friends. And now in third year, I've moved a bit closer to uni, which I feel is much better than living in town centre. However, I don't have that access to town centre, but I enjoy much more living closer to uni.
That's great, thank you. So thinking back to when you were at Blackburn College, before you came to Lancaster to study law, what did you study for your A-levels?
So I chose maths, accounting and law. So as I said before, I was quite good at maths, quite good dealing with numbers. So I knew I wanted to take maths, and that also led into me choosing accounting. It was quite tough, really intense. A-levels in themselves are very intense. Something in which I felt like I wasn't prepared for going from GCSE to A-levels, because GCSE is very school-driven. You're in 9 till 3. From like year 9 to year 11, everything you do works and contributes towards your GCSE. You get straight into A-levels. It's a massive step up, and it's a very intense course. So yeah, it was tough. And then towards the end, obviously we didn't complete our A-level course in itself because of COVID. Everything was completely locked down. So we had our predicted grades as our exams.
So you had that year where you were studying your A-levels, and then all of a sudden we had lockdown. I think it was March 23rd, around that time.
Yeah.
And then that was it. And so did you get a chance to say goodbye to your friends in college, the people that were in your class?
We did. So for about 2 weeks before that, there were rumours of sort of, wow, this is getting quite serious. It's getting really out of hand. There's going to be something put into place. So that for a couple of months before that, we were aware that there was this virus that was around. But everybody sort of thought, oh, it's quite dangerous, but, you know, it'll pass over. Then sort of start of March time, there's rumours going around college saying, oh, we're not going to do exams. There's going to be a lockdown, and we're going to escape with our exams. And then I think it was a Wednesday where it got announced that schools are going to close from the Monday. Our college said our last day will be the Thursday. That was announced on a Wednesday. So on the Thursday, we were all going into lessons. The college were acting as if, oh, it's just a normal day, but everybody was aware, no, this is our last day together. We were all sort of excited, but also quite sad because it was just an abrupt ending to our college life together. But yeah, we did say goodbye to our friends. I remember staying in college that day till about 5:30, 6. Just, it was our last day together.
So making the most of that last day.
Sajda, I was just going to say, so how did you feel about not having to do your exam after doing all that work?
It was, I mean, although I did so much work to prepare and all of that, it was such a massive relief, because I was really dreading A-level exams because it's quite difficult. But it was quite a relief to know that, okay, we're not doing these exams anymore. Everything we've done, all the evidence that our teachers have collected for us about our grades, that would be submitted. And if you do still want to sit the exams because your grades don't represent you fairly, you still get that opportunity. But yeah, it was a really good relief just to say, okay, well, the pressure's off now until you go to uni.
Yeah, absolutely. And what advice would you give to your sort of teenage self?
Really just that you're doing great. You're doing well when it comes to studying. And you are also balancing that with enjoying your time with your family and your friends. However, just don't take life too seriously. because things come and go, whether it's friends, whether it's going out with your friends, school, college. Life always goes on, and you don't need to be so scared or worried or take everything so serious about the future. Just enjoy the time you're in, enjoy life as it is, with your family, with your friends, and everything happens, everything moves on, things come, things go, people come and go, but just enjoy everything in the moment itself.
Good advice. Just to follow on from that, so some students, some young people at school, college, probably take that to the extreme and enjoy themselves a lot,
which means
that they'll focus on their studies. But you seem like you were very studious, and you made sure you had time for your studies in each of your subjects that you did at A-level, and even before that at high school. So if there are young people who are struggling with trying to get that balance, what advice would you give to them?
So, as I was saying earlier, I felt like at that age, I was doing well in terms of balancing my life at home and in my studies. And that's what I was telling myself to enjoy. But the only way you can do that is if you've got everything in order. And the first tip I would give is to have a schedule, to have it all, have your days and have your weeks mapped out. Doesn't necessarily have to go on till the rest of the year, but just have your day-to-day mapped out so you know this is the time I'm going to save for studying, this is the time I'm going to save for hanging out with my friends, hanging out with my family, just going, having a break to eat. That doesn't mean save lots of time for enjoying yourself, but it varies person to person. Some days you're going to have a lot of work in which you need to do, and in those days, make sure you get what you need to do done. Make sure you've planned well, planned in advance. Okay, I'm going to spend 10 till 6 or 9 till 5, or if you have to go on till later at night, do that. Even if you have to go on into the sort of later hours of the night, do that. But make sure when you've got your work, when you've got your deadlines, you have it all planned out in the hours that you are going to do your work, and then act on that. Make sure you do go through with your plans. Keep your phone away from you, which is another tip I would give, that your phone is a massive distraction when you're working. So you can leave it with you, but if you know you do get distracted, keep your phone away from you. Anything you do need, you can load it up on your laptop or your computer or wherever you're working with. So make sure you've got, my two tips would be, make sure you've got your time planned out and make sure you go through with it effectively.
Very good. Thank you. I'm sure that a lot of our listeners will find that really useful. Ellie?
So those are brilliant tips. A student told me recently there's actually an app you can get on your phone which times how like it locks you out of your phone, basically, and there's a timer on it so it doesn't let you get back onto your phone, particularly for when you're trying to study.
Yeah, there are things out there. I mean, I know that when I did try to use those, I just end up cheating my way through it. So
yeah, it's about, I guess, self-discipline, isn't it? There's some people who are quite good at it and get that skill quite early on, and there are others who really struggle with it, and any little bit of distraction and that's it. You know, their mind is wandering and something else is gonna is distracting them. So
It's not an easy skill as well, being self-disciplined. I mean, there's days where I struggle, there's days where I get lazy, there's days where I want to go do other things. So it's also about being self-aware and honest to yourself. Okay, this day I've done quite a bit of work, I'm going to reward myself. This day I've not stuck with my plan and I need to do better. So it's not just one thing where, okay, make your plan and listen to it. Oh, that's it, you're done. There's going to be days where you're going to be lazy, you're not going to have the same motivation and work ethic. And if you're honest with yourself, when you do have those days, you can improve from those, you have less of those. But it's not just, and I was just giving the tips. I'm just saying it's not easy just to stick with that. It is a difficult journey.
Yeah, you're very right. It's a skill, and skills have to be learned. But I think the tips you've given have been really helpful. When you're talking about things that you enjoy doing, sort of outside of studying and outside of, you know, going on your phone, what kind of things do you like doing in your spare time?
So I mentioned my grandparents came from India and they moved to Blackburn. So on the weekend, I meet up with my family and everybody, all my cousins and my uncles and aunties. We all go down to our grandparents' house and we meet up there. And so I spend a lot of time with my family and I really enjoy it. Me and my family are quite close. And then on the weekend, football comes on. We all watch football together. So it's another way I spend time outside studying. I watch a lot of football. It's something I really enjoy during the week. At night, when it's on at 8 o'clock kickoffs, or during the weekend. And then I also play football with my friends outside of studying sometimes during the week, a lot of the times on the weekend. So yeah, it's not just all about studying, it's all about having that balance. And the thing that you do enjoy, just go out and do it.
And it's very important that you have that time away from your studies and something that you, you know, that can help you in terms of your well-being. So, you play football. You mentioned that you enjoy watching football. So was that pre coming to university, before you went to university? Have you always done that? And when did you start to have that interest?
Throughout college I did. At high school I just enjoyed playing on my PlayStation and talking to my friends that way. I never used to go outside to play much. I always used to watch football, however, throughout high school, but at college is when I started to play. I'd go out on weekends, Saturday mornings with my friends. Every week we'd make sure we'd get enough players and go down on a Saturday to play if the weather permits. Sometimes on a Sunday, it just depends.
Then and at university, are you able to do that as well, play football?
Yeah, university really facilitates people spending time doing their hobbies. There's loads of societies out there. There's loads of ways in which you get to spend time in the way you choose. There's a football pitch. There's a couple of football pitches at uni. In my second year, I would go down there quite a lot to play. I was part of a football team as part of my Islamic society, so we'd play quite a bit. Then I'd go down with my friends every so often. I've not been playing as much this year. The weather's not been nice at all recently. But yeah, I'd probably be going to play on Monday.
Fantastic. You mentioned you play with the Islamic Society. So who do you play against? Is it just other members of the Islamic Society?
Yes. So on Wednesday nights, the Islamic Society hosts football in which you get to play with other members of the Islamic Society. Then the Islamic Society also have a team where we play against other societies within the uni. Last year, we would play against MedSoc, which is the Medical Society. We played about 3 games against them. So we have a very good rivalry with them. We enjoy playing against each other. We played against the Malaysian Society, the Indian Society. Who else did we play against? And we played against a couple of the college teams as well. So Lancaster Uni, it's a collegiate university, which means there's colleges that also have societies and football teams. So we played against Furness College and Carmel College and all the other colleges within uni. So we played against their teams.
Wonderful. So there's a good level of competitive football happening university. Yeah. Brilliant. Ellie?
So I'm sorry to end the conversation on football, but I'm going to bring us back to studying now.
Yeah.
So how have you found studying post-lockdown? And I know you mentioned sort of online learning. So do you have any tips for listeners who might have been doing their GCSEs online and are now doing their A-levels in person, or might have done their A-levels similar to you online and are now about to start studying at university in person?
One thing I did notice was coming out of online learning back into in-person learning was that I think my attention span had been affected, probably from scrolling through lots of short videos such as TikTok, Instagram, whatever. But I think having lots of sort of ways in which I could distract myself all the time while I was online and away from the university and school environment, going back into it, I feel like my attention span went away a bit. So it was something in which I felt like I had to work on just being more attentive, not daydreaming or going on my phone or this and that. So I guess it helps being aware that every so often, oh, I'm being distracted. I need to bring myself back into studying more, listening to my lecturer. So that would be one tip. And another tip is throughout lockdown, there were loads of different ways in which we studied, and which is recorded lectures and lots more content available online for people to study while things were online. So if you've got different techniques that you've learned through online studying or got more a variety of content, incorporate that now while everything's back in person. I'd say, yeah, there's a lot more out there than previous, than when you were studying before lockdown.
Okay. So either you're doing law now, and you're going to be graduating, inshallah, this next summer. So what are your what are your plans then? Have you thought about your next steps?
Yeah, so as I mentioned earlier, I really wanted to be a lawyer and work in the courtroom. However, just going through my degree, learning more about my degree and the legal profession, I still really enjoy my subject, which is quite strange because I've been put off from the profession itself. Because what I've noticed is that it's for the people who enjoy it, for the people who want to do it, it's perfect for them. It only suits some people, and I know that it's not something I want to do in the future. So whereas I love my day-to-day subject, studying law and going into my lectures and learning about the law, I don't want to do the profession itself. So I was looking at alternatives, and one thing that I have done over the last few years is that outside of studying, outside of playing football or watching or whatever, I've had a couple of jobs. I worked as a teacher in a madrasa. This was during college, and I also did work at Youth Action, which is sort of they do little camps during the holidays, during school holidays, Easter, winter, and summer. So I did a lot of youth work, a lot of work with children. So I actually had an interview a couple of weeks back. No, it was last week, actually. I had an interview last week for teacher training. So I've applied to become a teacher because I've got a lot of experience in working with children, and I know it's something I enjoy, teaching children. So I've applied for teaching maths at high school, which is quite left field compared to what I've been doing at uni. But it's while uni was going on, I was developing these skills, and I was also aware that this is something I can do, and I've just taken that step and gone for it.
Fantastic.
That's amazing. So something our listeners might be wondering about, because obviously you've studied law, to become a maths teacher then you don't need to have studied maths at university.
No. I'm teaching GCSE level, so the only thing I would have, would need is knowledge about the GCSE subject itself. So have studied GCSE maths, got a decent grade in it. I will be asked to do a subject knowledge enhancement course. So because it's been a while since I've done maths, I will be made to do a course to just learn everything again, go over everything again to make sure there's no gaps in my knowledge itself.
So we at Lancaster don't have teacher training courses. So where are you thinking of applying, or have you applied?
Yeah, so there's different ways in which you can do it. You can do it by applying to universities itself, using the Teach First program, or applying for the university courses itself. Or I've done it in a different way, which I've applied for the SKIT, which is a teacher training where you do it with teacher training institutes, and they plug you straight into schools in itself. So I've applied for a couple of schools in Blackburn. I've applied for St. Bede's in Blackburn and Tohoodle Boys in Blackburn, and I've also applied for a school in Accrington.
So next, so once you've graduated, because you said you've been offered this already, so you've been successful, Adil, or have you not heard
back? Alhamdulillah, I got an offer last week. So
fantastic. Congratulations.
Yes, I will be accepting my offer at St. Bede's, inshallah. So come September, I will be training for maths at St. Bede's.
So you're going straight into a school, is that right?
Straight into a school.
So do you, can you give the listeners a bit of an idea of the structure of that program? How many weeks you are in school, how many weeks you might be studying?
Okay, so before you go, obviously they can't throw trainees straight into a classroom without any prior experience or prior opportunity to get some skills. So for the first 3 weeks, I will be in training. So from September till towards mid end of September, I will be in training. And St. Bede's do the course in association with University of Cumbria. So I won't have to go to Cumbria. The opportunity will be to take the training in online, and when the in-person sessions come, it will be with a couple of other trainees at St. Bede's.
Oh, and how many months after do you graduate? The
program in itself is a year program with 4 days training and 4 days teaching, and 1 day training a week.
And that training is remote, because you said you don't have to go to University of Cumbria.
No, I'm pretty sure it's at St. Bede's itself.
Oh, okay. Fantastic. Sounds really good. So you did your A-levels in maths, in law, and yes. And what was the third one?
Accounting.
You decided to do your degree, your three-year degree in law, which you're in your final year currently, and you enjoyed law, but you want to use that and all the skills that you've developed to pursue a career in teaching. And so now you've applied for a teaching course, a teacher training course, and you've been successful, and you're hoping to start that in September once you've graduated with your law degree, which is fantastic. You're very, it's a great achievement, Adil, to have done that. Are there other people in your family who've been to university?
I've had cousins and like other relatives, but my parents don't have a degree, so I'll be the first, inshallah, to get a degree.
That's a huge achievement. Your parents.
Congratulations.
Yes.
Thank you very much.
It makes it a bit more difficult, doesn't it, when you don't have people in your family who have been through that process. So you mentioned about cousins, but in your direct family, your nuclear family, you will be the first to get a degree, which is an amazing achievement.
Yeah. So my dad did go to uni itself. However, he didn't come out with a degree. So I was able to get some advice from my dad, because he'd already had the university experience. Mm-hmm.
Fantastic. So we've learned a lot, Adil, about you, and something else I wanted to ask you when you were talking was about law degree, and you said you didn't want to go on and practice law. So one of the misconceptions that exist is that once you have a law degree, you become a lawyer or you become a solicitor. Is that right?
Yeah. No. So one of the things you do have to do is, if you want to become a solicitor, you can do a training contract or something new which they've introduced recently is an SQE. However, those are paid courses and you don't get a university loan to do those. The LPC is, I think it's about £10,000. It varies, but it is quite expensive and you do have to fund it yourself. The SQE is a bit cheaper, where that's about £3,000-£4,000. There are bursaries and ways which you can afford that, but they are quite competitive, so you do end up funding it yourself. I wanted to go through the barrister route, so I would have had to do a bar course, and that would have cost around £15,000. It's quite expensive, so I would have had to train for a year, then do a bar course for a year, then do pupillage for a year, which is working closely with an already qualified barrister. Then I can qualify as a barrister myself. So it would actually have to be 2 years after uni for me to qualify as a barrister.
Do you think the cost of that puts a lot of students off?
Oh, it definitely. Not many people can afford it. I mean, some people can, some people's parents can help their children with that. However, not many students are in that position. Having gone through uni, already having taken student loans, your students are already in lots of debt. Some students will end up taking a bank loan or having to find other ways to fund it. So the cost is really off-putting, especially for families and for students that aren't as privileged as others.
Yeah, so I'm quite surprised by just how expensive it is. Just to circle back to your career plans. So you mentioned, I know you've got a lot of experience working with young people and working with children, but some of your experience started, am I right, before you'd even gone to university?
Yeah. So alhamdulillah, I was able to complete Hifsa al Madrasa. So I had learned the Quran off by heart. So a couple of years after this, the madrasa came to me and asked if I wanted to teach a classroom, a class full of 6 to 7 year olds. So I did that for over a year. So I got lots of experience in teaching, and it was something I really enjoyed. I never once went into it thinking, oh no, here we go again. I really enjoyed it. And something I haven't mentioned is on weekends, I referee football games. So again, going back to football, Saturday mornings, Sunday mornings, working with children, they are in their element, enjoying themselves, having fun, and I'm only there just to facilitate and make sure everything is in order. So I had lots of experience in working with children, and I had lots of opportunity to pick this up outside college and uni, but I started first year of college when I was 16 is when I started picking up this experience.
I mean, that's incredible, and congratulations on all your achievements,
and the
work you did in the madrasa is just amazing, and I just think it's so sort of inspiring to anyone listening who's 16, thinking that the work they're potentially doing right now could have that influence on future careers in your third year and you know, you can do a degree, like you said, you enjoy law, but you know you don't want to go into law as a career, but it's still an excellent building block for a future career.
Yeah, that's how it is. Your building blocks start from straight GCSEs, but I think A levels are the main point where you start your building blocks. Any work experience you get it's very beneficial. It really, you can litter your CV with any experience that you get, and employers really look for that. It helps when you're applying for uni because it shows you have those skills, employability skills, and it definitely helps when you are looking and applying for jobs, any experience in which you can get in employment.
Yeah, I completely agree. And thank you so much. I think you summed that up perfectly. So thank you so much for joining us today, Adele. Really great being able to speak to you. Obviously, I've spoken to you lots before, but I feel like I've learned even more. So thank you so much for sharing all that with our listeners.
Oh, thank you very much for giving me the opportunity. Thank you, Ellie, and thank you, Sajda.
Thank you.